not used to preaching from down here. Used to preaching from there. We'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll wander around more than I usually do. So have you ever watched a new road or a new pathway be built somewhere? I work at Stanford, and Stanford is always building buildings. Those of you who have spent any time there know it's always under construction. And so they are always building new roads or new pathways to and from these buildings. And I've noticed that it's really quite a process to put in a new road. It takes a survey crew to come and do all the math and the measurements about where the road's going to go. It takes another crew to come out and remove all the things that are in the way of what might go in that road. And another crew comes to prepare the dirt, so the dirt is flat and level. And then there's another crew that finally comes and does the paving. It's really kind of a long process. But then all of a sudden, there's this new road that wasn't there before. And in the ancient world, when a king traveled, a king would send a construction crew ahead of him to make the road straight. So sometimes there were existing roads, and sometimes there weren't any roads at all. And so the crew would, in fact, make a road. And if they came across a hill, they would tear down some of that hill so the road would be straighter. And if they came across a depression in the land, they would fill it in with dirt so the road would be flat. And they would remove debris and whatever might be in the way so that when the king traveled, the king got to travel on the straightest, smoothest path to wherever he was going. So when John the Baptist proclaims in the gospel today, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the path straight. Fill in the valleys and tear down the mountains." The people in the first century who were listening to John the Baptist would have thought about these construction crews. They would have had an image in their mind of these crews that went ahead of the king to make the path straight, to fill in the valleys and to make the mountains low so that the king could move in the straightest, smoothest path. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, is that what John is asking us to do? Is John asking us to, like, flatten out the Santa Cruz Mountains so that if Jesus shows up by sea this time, there's a flat path? Or fill in the San Joaquin Valley so that if Jesus happens to come from the east, he'll be able to get here on the smoothest road? Probably not. I mean, you never rule anything out when you're reading scripture, but I don't think that's where John was going. And I don't think that's what John was asking of his first century listeners either. I don't think John is asking for a literal flattening and smoothing and straightening of the road. But rather, John is talking about making a straight path for Jesus to our hearts. Removing the obstacles in the way that keep us from being as close to Jesus as we can be. As I was rolling this passage around in my head this week, I was thinking about that game that used to play on the old Atari, that Pitfall game. Do you remember Pitfall? It's really old. You have to go way back to the 80s. Some of you might not even remember Pitfall, but it was my favorite game. And Pitfall Harry was this little man. The object of the game was to get him all the way down his path from beginning to end and still be alive at the end, having got some treasures and not lost too many points. But the path was full of pitfalls and obstacles. There was quicksand, so you'd have to swing on a vine to get over the quicksand. And there were ponds full of alligators, so he had to jump just right on the heads of the alligators to get across. And there were rolling logs and scorpions and fire. It was a great game. But there were pitfalls and obstacles in his way as he moved along the path. And I was thinking about how, in our human experience, life is full of pitfalls and obstacles that can keep us from fully experiencing Jesus' love. Sometimes there are obstacles that the world just throws at us. bad things happen. People we love die. We get sick, we lose our job, our house burns down in a fire. Sometimes those things can help us be closer to God's love, but sometimes they make it hard for us to understand and experience and feel Jesus' love for us. And then there are the obstacles that we put in our own way, the things that we do that keep us separated from God's love for us. Sometimes we think that we don't deserve God's love, that we're not good enough, that God could never love us. And now we've dug a little valley right between us and God. Sometimes we go the opposite way. This is what I'm always in trouble about, is that I think I've got this. And I buy into the myth of self-reliance, and I don't think I need God. And now a hill has sprung up just on the other side of that valley. Sometimes we're so ashamed of who we are and what we've done and how we are at being in the world that we think there's no way that God could ever forgive us. And now there's a pond full of alligators on the other side of that hill, keeping us from God's love. Sometimes we look at this broken world and they think that there is nothing we can do to solve the world's problems, and so we do nothing. And suddenly there's a little pit of quicksand just beyond that pond of alligators. Make the path straight, fill the valleys and tear down the hills, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus is always ready to love us and to pour grace and mercy and forgiveness upon us, but we throw all these little obstacles in the way. The good news of the gospel is that we can take the straight path. We can remove the obstacles. Sometimes it's just tiny little things we do, like buying a Safeway gift card to send to paradise. We're not going to solve the brokenness of the world, but we can feed somebody today. And then that quicksand is gone. Sometimes we have to put hard work and time and energy into forgiving someone who has hurt us, even when we don't want to, and maybe when they don't even deserve it. But I can promise you that if you practice forgiving someone else, you will soon learn how to forgive yourself and how to let God forgive you too. And the next thing you know, that hill is gone. If you come to the communion table each week and you put your hands forward with humility, knowing that God loves you just as you are, full of pride or full of shame or full of self-doubt or full of fear, you will take Jesus into your hands and into your body, and that valley between you and Jesus' love will be filled. Does Jesus need us to do that stuff? Not really. Jesus is right here, right now, right in front of us, full of love and grace and mercy. We are the ones who put the obstacles in the path. We are the ones that block God from loving and forgiving and caring about us. So I invite you in this time of Advent to think about the obstacles, the pitfalls, if you were, on your path. What valleys have you dug between yourself and God? What hills are in the way? What quicksand? What alligators? Step forward into God's love. Pull out the little construction crew in your mind and start making that path straight so that as you walk into Christmas, you can fully receive Jesus into your heart, and be filled with joy and love and mercy and grace. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.